MOVAD has identified some new DNS leaks on Android VPNs. The UK has banned bad IoT passwords. Bitwarden has released a brand new authenticator app and more. Welcome to Surveillance Port 176, where we are dedicated to keeping you private and secure with the latest news from the past week. I am Nathan with the New Oil.
And I'm Henry from TechLore.
If you want to support this podcast and keep us going, then the best way to do that would be Patreon. We have two tiers, $5 a month or $10 a month. For $5 a month or more, you get to ask us a question on our weekly Q&A, which will come out later this week. For $10 a month or more, you get an extended version of this podcast. There's no promo segment. There's more analysis on the stories, things of that nature. And just a reminder, if you just want to support the podcast and you don't care about the perks, then you can give less than $5 or $10. You just won't get those perks necessarily. Or you could check out LibrePay. LibrePay is open source. It is an alternative to Patreon. There are no perks, but again, you can give different amounts that you're more comfortable with, and it's a little bit more privacy respecting. But the most privacy respecting option would be Monero. We still support that. We don't see any information about you, but we do see that support. And regardless of how you support the podcast, we do appreciate each and every one of you. Okay, so our highlight story this week comes from MOVAD, where they have discovered that DNS traffic can leak outside the VPN tunnel on Android. So this actually came from a user on, I believe they said, their Reddit forum. They identified scenarios where the OS can leak DNS traffic. One, if a VPN is active without any DNS server configured. And two, for a short period of time while a VPN app is reconfiguring the tunnel or is being force stopped or crashes. The leak seems to be limited to direct calls to the C function getAddr info, like get address info. Apps that use this way to resolve domain names can cause leaks in the scenarios listed. They have not found any leaks from apps that only use Android APIs, such as DNS Resolver. The Chrome browser is an example of an app that can use get address info directly. The above applies regardless of whether always on VPN and block connections without VPN is enabled or not, which is not expected behavior and should be fixed upstream. So this is actually like an Android issue. This is not a MOVAD issue. This is not a stock or Calyx or whatever. This is like AOSP upstream. Google needs to fix this, that it can filter out to everyone else. They said they have been able to confirm these leaks in multiple versions of Android, including the latest Android 14. So MOVAD specifically, I'm sure other providers will address this. And at the time of recording, we have not seen any, at least I've not seen any blog posts, tweets. I follow official blogs. I don't really follow a lot of like social media, but I haven't seen anyone else directly address this yet, but I'm sure they will. MOVAD's solution is they are going to put a bogus DNS server into their app for now, and they'll release that soon. It's not out yet. The leak during reconnects is harder to mitigate in the app. They are still looking for solutions. They have reported the issues and suggested improvements to Google. These findings show once again that block connections without VPN does not always live up to its name or documentation, and that it has multiple flaws. And that, I think that was a link that redirects to a couple years ago, MOVAD found basically your phone is always reaching outside of the VPN tunnel to just check for general connectivity. Is there even any internet there at all? And do I need to connect to a VPN? Which MOVAD was kind of like, okay, that makes sense, but it's very misleading documentation and labels and stuff like that. And last but not least, they said, depending on your threat model, this might mean that you should avoid using Android altogether for anything sensitive or to employ other mitigations to prevent leaks. And my last thought is that seems like kind of a misleading sentence, because we've seen studies in the past about iOS being worse than Android, in the sense that there's just whole things that they entirely bypass the VPN, like not just DNS, whole traffic that'll bypass the VPN tunnel. There's like a very complicated, you have to like put the phone in airplane mode for a few seconds so it totally disconnects and stops everything, restart it. Like there's all these complicated things you have to do on iOS to get it to really fully work the way it was intended. But I mean, yeah, if your threat model is high enough, you probably shouldn't be using a phone to begin with.
Yeah, it's a really interesting takeaway, and I'm wondering where it's coming from. Maybe I'm trying to justify MOVAD's point there, because I feel like it's an overstep in a lot of ways. The only thing I can think of is maybe it's in the context of DNS traffic, because I do believe on iOS, if you have like the DNS option configured, even outside the VPN, I don't think I've read it bypasses the DNS as well. I think it bypasses a VPN, but not the DNS. Maybe that's the only thing I can find, but that still doesn't justify their takeaway. So it's a weird sentence. I'd like to hear more about why they said that, because it seems like, depending on your threat model, this might mean that you should avoid using Android altogether. Does it specifically say iOS?
No, it did not.
Okay.
That was like almost the entire conclusion right there.
Okay. I get what they're saying now. They're not saying use iOS instead. They're just saying you just shouldn't be using any mobile operating system if you need a reliable VPN connection. That's what they're saying, because they didn't suggest iOS, just because iOS is the one other option, realistically. They didn't say it, and iOS doesn't really address this issue super well either, like we've established. So, yeah, use a desktop operating system if you need 100% reliability for your VPN. 99.99%.
My other thought is this is a great argument for putting a router or a VPN on your router, which I think we both encourage for a lot of different reasons. We know that's not feasible for everyone or every situation, and sometimes there are things that need to go outside the tunnel, but that also doesn't account for anything that might go over your SIM card directly. That's certainly possible, I assume, but it's a great way to add a little bit of extra protection for things that might slip outside the tunnel, or like with computers, for example, when you first boot them up, there might potentially be some kind of telemetry sent out before the VPN kicks in. So router VPNs are awesome. They definitely have a use case.
I agree. But yeah, it's only at home. Unless you're someone at home all day, then maybe it's perfect.
And even if you do work from home, you can't control the Wi-Fi at the coffee shop or, you know.
The only hypothetical follow-up question I have for this, which I would like to get answered. Okay, so this is in the context of a VPN. DNS traffic leaves the VPN. If you configure your own DNS provider inside the Android settings, let's say you set up Quad 9, if it leaks outside the VPN tunnel, so if it leaks outside Mulvad, will it now default to the configured Quad 9 in your DNS provider?
I think that would help, because it did say the first scenario where it can leak traffic is if the VPN is active without any DNS server configured. And then they said that one of their solutions is just to put in a placeholder DNS server. So I think if you had a DNS configured like Quad9 or NextDNS or something like that, I think that would mitigate, if not solve, this entirely.
All right. Well, it won't hurt for anyone listening. As long as you trust that DNS provider, it won't hurt to enable that alongside your VPN. Though on Android, it might actually bypass your VPN's DNS. So at least be aware of that as well. All right, we're going to go through the data breaches now, and we're going to start with a collection agency. FBCS warns data breach impacts 1.9 million people. So this is a nationally licensed debt collection agency in the U.S., and they're specializing in collecting unpaid debts from consumer credit, healthcare, commercial, auto loans and leases, student loans, and utilities. This breach includes full names, social security numbers, date of birth, account information, and driver's license numbers or ID cards. And their solution, as you might expect, 12 months of credit monitoring.
The Philadelphia Inquirer had the data of over 25,000 people stolen back in 2023. The Inquirer is Philadelphia's largest newspaper by circulation. They have won 20 Pulitzer Prizes since their founding in 1829, and they are the third longest operating daily newspaper in the U.S. The information exposed included names and other personal identifiers in combination with financial account numbers or credit and debit card numbers in combination with security code, access code, password, or PIN for the accounts. So it sounds like this probably impacted paying subscribers to the paper.
Qantas passengers' personal data exposed as airline app logs users into wrong account. Potentially thousands of Qantas customers have had their personal details made public via the app, with some frequent flyers able to view strangers' account details and possibly make changes to other users' bookings. The airline said this didn't include displaying financial information and that users were not able to transfer Qantas points from another account or board flights with their in-app boarding passes.
Panda Restaurants discloses data breach after corporate systems hack. So this is the parent company for Panda Express, Panda Inn, and Hibachi-san. Panda Express is the largest Chinese fast food chain in the U.S. with over $3 billion in sales and 47,000 associates working in 2,300 branches. This included affected people's names or other personal identifiers and their driver's license numbers or non-driver identification card numbers. Panda has yet to disclose the total number of individuals whose personal information was accessed or stolen. So again, this sounds like probably the employees.
Dropbox says hackers stole customer data off secrets from e-signature service. So they discovered that a threat actor has accessed data, including Dropbox Sign, customer information like emails, usernames, phone numbers, and hashed passwords, in addition to general account settings and certain authentication information like API keys, OAuth tokens, and MFA. For those users who use the e-signature platform but did not register an account, their email addresses and names were also exposed. So Dropbox says that it reset all users' passwords, logged out all sessions to Dropbox Sign, and restricted how API keys can be used until they are rotated by the customer. Those who utilize MFA with Dropbox Sign should delete the configuration from their authenticator apps and reconfigure it with a new MFA key retrieved from the website.
So this next story, the headline says, the breach of a face recognition firm reveals a hidden danger of biometrics. And this one is unconfirmed. The way they told the story is a little confusing, so I hope I got this right. From what I understand, there's a facial recognition company in Australia called Out of Box, and they're mainly used in bars and clubs. They are used to verify your age and also take your temperature as like an anti-COVID measure. From context, I think this is a service you have to register with, because they mentioned that it can also be used to flag people who have like opted into not drinking. So for example, if you're a recovering alcoholic, you can put yourself in the system and say, hey, don't let me into a bar if I try to go in, and it'll stop you. So based on that context, I think this is an opt-in thing, but I'm not sure. Apparently there's a website that's kind of similar to Have I Been Pwned, where you can go in and it'll tell you like, hey, you were caught up in this out-of-box data breach that contains 1 million records. And 1 million records includes facial recognition biometric, driver's license scan, signature, club membership data, address, birthday, phone number, club visit timestamps, and slot machine usage. And this is kind of the part that's confusing, is there was no like official breach announcement. It just seems like this website was set up. So Out of Box is claiming that they're investigating. They say that there's like a legal action is involved, so they can't really say a whole lot. Of course, they're saying this isn't true. There's also this speculation that this might be an inside job. Apparently, Out of Box has stopped paying their developers in the Philippines. So I guess the implication there is this might be like disgruntled developers trying to blackmail the company or extort them or something. It's a very confusing story. But either way, allegedly, this biometric data is out there.
So an open database leaked submissions to Utah's bathroom bill, which is by some considered transphobic. So Utah set up an online forum for people to accuse other citizens and public establishments of violating the state's enacted bathroom bill. The submission form is being flooded with memes and troll comments, and the auditor also left the submissions database open to the public without a password, authentication, or any other protections that would keep anyone from viewing other people's submissions. After 404 Media contacted the office for comment, they changed the permissions to now require authentication. The author notes she didn't find any serious user data there, only memes and troll answers, but the possibility existed, and it's unlikely she went through every entry.
This next one is just a quick update. We covered this story a while back when it first came to light. This comes from Brian Krebs, and the headline says, man who mass extorted psychotherapy patients gets 6 years. So back in October of 2020, the Vastaamo Psychotherapy Center in Finland became the target of blackmail when a tormentor identified as Ransom underscore Man demanded a payment of 40 bitcoins, which was about 450,000 euros at the time. Long story short, this guy, if I remember correctly, this is the guy who allegedly the authorities were able to trace Monero, and that's how they caught him. In reality, all the, and I mean, granted, slight conflict of interest here, but all the crypto experts who looked at this story were like, it's not so much that they traced Monero, it's that he had very poor operational security. Anyways, the dude was apprehended and has been sentenced. But it is also worth noting that the CEO of Vastaamo was also fired and prosecuted because allegedly he had very sloppy security. He was using the username and password root to protect sensitive patient records. So that's the update to that one.
All right. And the last two data breaches are kind of combined here because they're both healthcare related. So Change Healthcare was hacked using stolen Citrix account with no MFA. And this is just an update development and a reminder to always enable 2FA. And then the second story here is that United Healthcare CEO says maybe a third of US citizens were affected by a recent hack. During a House hearing on push to give a more definitive answer, they testified that he thinks a third of Americans or somewhere of that level was impacted by this recent hack. So they're not giving as many details yet because they're still investigating things.
That'll bring us into companies. We'll start off with, I think, some good news from Google. Google will now show labels in the Play Store to denote official government apps. This is already rolled out in more than 14 countries. The new label is designed to help users rule out apps that masquerade as official apps in order to steal money or data. The badges currently cover more than 2,000 apps in countries like Australia, Canada, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Japan, South Korea, the United States, Brazil, Indonesia, India, and Mexico.
Microsoft launches passkey support for all consumer accounts. So after enabling them in Windows 11 last year, Microsoft account owners can also now generate passkeys across Windows, Android, and iOS. Over 400 million Google accounts have used passkeys so far, demonstrating that they're a popular alternative to having to use a password. And so Microsoft is finally joining the list of people who now support passkeys. So good job. And I'll go ahead and rip that into the next story, which is also Microsoft, who has now banned U.S. police departments from using enterprise AI tool for facial recognition. Microsoft has changed its policy to ban U.S. police departments from using generative AI for facial recognition through the Azure OpenAI service. So a separate new bullet point covers any law enforcement globally, and it explicitly bars the use of real-time facial recognition technology on mobile cameras, like body cameras and dash cams, to attempt to identify a person in uncontrolled, in-the-wild environments. The change in terms comes a week after Axon, a maker of tech and weapons products for military and law enforcement, announced a new product that leverages OpenAI's GPT-4 generative text model to summarize audio from body cameras. Critics were quick to point out that the potential pitfalls of this, like hallucinations and racial biases introduced from the training data. It's unclear whether Axon was using GPT-4 via Azure OpenAI service, and if so, whether the updated policy was in response to this product launch. OpenAI has previously restricted the use of its models for facial recognition through its APIs.
Our last company story is just a quick update. Apple will bring sideloading and other EU-mandated changes to iPad OS this fall. The title really says it all, kind of the only part of the article worth noting. It says it's not clear if these changes will be brought to iPad OS 17 or if they'll just be part of the upcoming iPad OS 18 update.
Just a little more context. Apple has been really leaning into the fact that iPad OS is not iOS, therefore is not part of the mandate that the EU is requiring. So this is actually big news.
Since that was such a short story, I'll go ahead and cover the next one, which is also a research story. We have one this week, and it comes from, well, it's about Apple. The headline says, Apple's quote-unquote incredibly private Safari is not so private in Europe. This is from the article. They have a TLDR section that I think summed it up really well, so I'm just going to quote that. The way Apple has added support for third-party app stores lets any website, when visited by Safari on iOS at least, to ping a chosen approved software marketplace with a unique per-user identifier. That means as users move from website to website or use a website, these sites can quietly disclose that activity to a non-Apple store, revealing the sort of things individual netizens find interesting. That info can be used for targeted app promotions, ads, and so on. This appears to apply to iOS 17.4 users in the EU. Whether anyone will exploit this in the wild remains to be seen, but the potential is there.
Politics. The FCC has fined carriers $200 million for illegally sharing user location. There's this new fine that's issued against AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon in February of 2020. And the fines imposed on Monday include $12 million for Sprint and $80 million for T-Mobile. Two carriers have merged since the investigation began, more than $57 million for AT&T and an almost $47 million fine for Verizon. So again, this started in February and these fines are finally now being imposed. So an investigation was launched after reports the largest American wireless carriers disclosed customers' location information to a Missouri sheriff through a location finding service called Securus, without consent or legal authorization. Despite being informed of the unauthorized access, all four carriers continue to operate their programs without reasonable safeguards to ensure that the location-based service providers with access to customers' location information obtain consent. In other words, they're being penalized for just freely sharing user information without letting them know and without getting proper consent.
Warrantless FBI searches of American communications drop 50%. According to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence's annual transparency report, the FBI conducted 57,094 searches of U.S. person data under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act last year, which is a 52% decrease from 2022. Despite the drop in overall searches of Americans' data, the report also notes that the number of foreign targets whose data could be searched in the Section 702 database rose to 268,590, which is a 9% increase from the previous year. The number of probable cause targets also increased significantly from 417 in 2022 to 759 in 2023. Of those, 57% are estimated to be U.S. persons, which includes U.S. citizens and permanent residents. And then as a reminder, Section 702 is set to expire again in 2026.
Baltimore City high schoolers, or high schools, will soon use AI to scan for weapons. So the district expects to roll out this new evolved technology to all high schools over the next 30 days. I'm going to quote here. Unlike traditional detectors, Evolve scans for the specific metal density and shape of weapons to cut down on false alarms and wait times. That's why the district originally decided to trial run the system at 6 city schools last year. During the trial run, Evolve sent over 17,000 alerts. Only 10 of those cases actually resulted in a weapon being found.
The UK has become the first country to ban default bad passwords on IoT devices. So the Product Security and Telecommunications Infrastructure Act of 2022, which is the PSTI, introduces new minimum security standards for manufacturers and demands that these companies are open with consumers about how long their products will receive security updates for. Under the PSTI, weak or easily guessable default passwords such as admin, 12345 are explicitly banned, and manufacturers are also required to publish contact details so users can report bugs. Products that fail to comply with the rules could face being recalled, and the companies responsible could face a maximum fine of £10 million, or $12.53 million, or 4% of their global revenue, whichever is higher. The law will be regulated by the Office for Product Safety and Standards, which is part of the Department for Business and Trade, rather than an independent body.
Against the empire of algorithmic video surveillance, La Quadrature du Net strikes back. For the past few years, French police forces and the security services of transport companies have been legally using smart video surveillance. At the end of April, citing large crowds of people attending football games or concerts, the police in Paris authorized the SNCF and RATP to use the AVS technologies of a startup by the names Wintex to cross-analyze. It's a lot of fancy words. What it's doing is it's cross-analyzing the flows of hundreds of cameras installed in some Parisian train and subway stations. So these experiments will continue until March 2025. This is a quote here, never mind the ineffectiveness of these automated surveillance systems for public spaces. A different quote. The legislative bills legalizing AVS on the long run, including its most sensitive applications like real-time facial recognition in the public space or automatic video tagging for minor offenses, are already in the pipeline. The bill on safety in transportation is a perfect example. The National Assembly is about to debate this proposal put forward by the Senate's right-wing majority to legalize AVS in the transport sector. The government supports the parliamentary initiative, having activated the fast-track procedure on this bill without even waiting for the assessments required by the Olympic Games law. Also in June 2023, less than 3 months after the adoption of the Olympic Games law, the Senate took up an experimentation project first developed by the Macron's parliamentary majority, adopting a bill that would provide for a 3-year experimentation of facial recognition coupled with video surveillance.
And our last story comes from South Korea, where iPhone isn't securable enough for the South Korean military, but Android is. So basically, the South Korean military has banned the use of iPhones, and this article says that it has less to do with security and more to do with a poorly crafted mobile device management suite coupled with nationalism that may be expanding to the rank and file. A report claims that the ban is on all devices capable of voice recording but do not allow third-party apps to lock this down, with the iPhone being named specifically. The ban is not just on iPhones, it also encompasses wearables like the Apple Watch. The issue appears to be that the South Korean National Defense Mobile Security mobile device management app doesn't seem to be able to block the use of the microphone. Discussions are apparently underway to extend the total ban downwards to the entire military. South Korea's potential iPhone ban spanning all military buildings and personnel is extreme. It speaks to a larger issue with security training, compliance, and access control. There is also a hint of nationalism as Samsung devices are explicitly allowed. That last bit was from the article there.
Now we're going to go into the FOSS category, free and open source. I'm really excited about this one just because I do know NT released NT Auth, which is now kind of like a nice, really solid TOTP cross-platform option, which we just haven't seen in a while now. But now we have a second person in the ring, which is Bitwarden, of all people, who has a very strong reputation. They have their password manager, and they launched a new authenticator app, which generates and stores time-based one-time passwords, like TOTP, same thing, which adds another layer of user verification, and they've released it in app stores. So Bitwarden Authenticator is available for everyone, even if they're not currently Bitwarden customers. And it looks like it was mostly aimed at companies with more enterprise features planned in the future.
You can export keys. You cannot import at this time. I hope they'll roll that out later. At least on Android. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is not Proton and that it's the same on both devices, but I could be wrong.
Next FOSS story. And it's our last story. Systemd has announced Run Zero pseudo alternative, which is really exciting. So the lead developer of Systemd, Leonard Poettering, Leonard, has posted on Mastodon about their upcoming V2.5.6 release of Systemd, which is expected to include a pseudo replacement called Run Zero. The developer talks about the weaknesses of sudo. For those who don't know, like if you ever want to get administrator access on a Linux system, you normally do sudo to get access to that. So it's pretty much admin access. And he talks about how it has a large possible attack surface. For some reason, it supports network access, LDAP, other types of plugins, and much more. But its binary provides a large attack surface, according to Leonard. So he's saying that sudo is a concept from many decades ago and that there's better systems in place that they can implement with better security standards, which he's now calling Run Zero. There's going to be more features in Run Zero that are not just related to the security backend.
That's all our news from the past week. We have a new DNS leak on Android with VPNs. So if you're an Android and VPN user, be sure to do some research into that. Keep your devices updated, plan your mitigations accordingly. The UK has banned bad default IoT passwords, which is great news. Bitwarden has a new authenticator, which looks very, very promising so far, and more. Once again, if you want to help support us, Patreon is the best way to do that. For $5 a month or more, you get to ask us a question that we will answer later this week on the Q&A. For $10 a month or more, you get our extended version with more analysis. If you don't care about any of the perks or you want to support us with a different amount, we do have LibrePay. And of course, the most private and secure option is Monero. We don't see anything about you, but we do see your support and appreciate it. And of course, if you are not currently in a spot where you can financially support us, we totally understand. You can still help us by sharing the podcast around, liking, subscribing, leaving a comment, all those kind of fun things. Leave a rating if you're on a platform where that's an option. We appreciate all of you guys listening. As a reminder, links to all the stories we covered can be found in the show notes. And if you have a story that you think we should cover, you can send it to news@surveillancereport.tech. That story about the French facial recognition actually came from a listener, so thank you for that. We're trying to reach as many people as possible with the message of privacy, and we appreciate all your help in keeping us going and spreading the word. So thank you guys again for listening, and we'll be back next week with some more news.